Good morning, everybody. Hope your day's off to an awesome start and a brand new week, and a short week at that, because Friday is a public holiday and so is next Monday. It's a big, long weekend coming up. I hope you're ready for that. Okay, so being Monday, we'll get started. Leanne is... Oh, look, she's not there. Show everybody the empty... There's the empty space where Leanne would be. She decided to sleep late, and she will be joining us, but just in a short while. What's also cool is we're going to be joined by Chris Hart, the economist, a little bit later on. Chris, a very well-known person in South African commentary, somebody who's had quite a lot to say about very, very many of the things that affect you and me, the bottom line, the cost of stuff, what our rand is worth, all of those things. And I thought, you know what, instead of us just sitting here and moaning about it, let's find out from somebody who does this for a living, not moaning, but figuring out how things work, and especially with regard to the economy. So Chris Hart, South African economist and investment strategist, will be joining us to talk a little bit about what's most likely going to be the scenario here in South Africa for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, as much as it's possible to do that. And also find out what he thinks of what is going on in geopolitics, how that affects us. So instead of just sitting here and laughing or crying about it, we're going to actually get someone who knows what they're talking about. Also do some weekend sports recapping with James, who's, you know, he's just rearing to go on that front. Dr. Hanan will join us in a little while for a little bit of getting our heads right first thing on a Monday morning. And I'm especially interested to hear from him today because I saw a horrific stat yesterday. I think it was Kaya Dlomo, maybe, who said he was going through some stats from Discovery this weekend. Have you got that graphic, James, that he put up on his Instagram or Twitter? And here's a scary, scary number, right? So here you can see breakdown for all ages. These are the causes of unnatural deaths by age. So obviously, these are just policyholders with, in this case, Discovery. But look at that number there for suicide, okay? All ages, motor vehicle accidents account for 23%. High, but then that's kind of the most dangerous place you can be is in a car. Suicide, 35%. And then if you look at that number for people between 51 and 60 in South Africa, half of the chart, light blue color there, half of that is suicide for the 51 to 60-year-olds. The 41 to 50-year-olds, it's a big chunk. It's the majority. It's the largest plurality of causes for deaths, and that's suicide too. And then over 60, there's also quite a lot. And between 31 and 40, there's quite a lot too. Now, 45% of unnatural claims for ages 41 to 60-year-olds were from suicides. And I hate to start the Monday on a downer, but that is a terrible statistic. I don't know if it's hugely higher than other countries. I'm not sure if we are an outlier in this respect, and I would need someone who does this for a living to be able to give us a proper contextual look at these very, very worrying statistics. But even if you just take it at face value, I mean, that's a frightening number. 40 to 50% of people, you know, it's just frightening. Let's take the low end. If it's 40, that's just too many people who are contemplating suicide or have actually done it. These are the ones who've done it, right? You can only imagine how many more have thought about it but never went through with it. So something to think about there. And not a good thing to think about, but something you actually need to pay attention to. Congo Chris says if you break it down by sex, it'd be even worse on the male side. That is true. We know that in America, the leading cause of death for men that is unnatural, in other words, something that wasn't a regular cause of death before, diseases, that kind of thing, infections, the stuff that'll take you out because there are bacteria or viruses or things like that involved. Yeah, I think we're rapidly approaching the number that the Americans are at, and it's more male heavy. Men are much more likely to commit suicide. It's just a frightening idea and bothers me. I've never thought about it. I'm not going to bullshit you and pretend that I have, but I know lots of people who have, and I know lots of people that have done it. And let me tell you, that's a pretty final thing, hey? You decide to do that, there's no real going back. Let's try it again, but this time with a little bit more of this. Russell says men die younger than women because women don't have to put up with women. Russell, you keep talking like that. We'll see how many people you have in your life by the end of it. The sample should actually say demographic and the number of people. Yeah, that would probably be useful. Hugh says, wonder what's the most popular form of suicide? I think overdosing. I think it's probably pills. Any other thoughts on that? I don't think a lot of guys are doing, or girls, are doing violent things, you know, like guns or whatever. But you do have those stories too, especially I know that the police were dealing with a very, very bad kind of spate of suicides in the police by police officers who had guns and that would be their first port of call, is to use the gun. So glad we're all still here, those of us that are. Well, Dave, that is not a happy set of statistics back there. Go to Japan, they have a mountain dedicated for suicide. Well, in the medical profession, anesthetists and dentists have the highest number of suicides. Yeah, I believe so. Certain ideologies cause suicide. I won't say which, but we all know. I think you got to say, because I'd be quite interested to know which ideology makes people want to kill themselves more. I don't know. Super Jacob Zuma says white males guns. I don't know. I don't know. That I just thought that this was an interesting thing for us to have a look at. And I do agree with you. This is a very, very heavy topic for 6 a.m. Africa, but, you know, I'm not going to ignore it. Transgenderism. Okay, well, transgenderism's tiny, tiny group of people. Really, really minuscule group of people. And I know that there is a huge propensity for suicide. And it doesn't get better if you have the bottom surgery, as they call it, you know, where you will change your outward appearance of the sex that you would prefer to be assigned to. That does lead to an increase in suicidality. But all right, I just thought frightening thing, and better on a Monday than if I bring this up on a Friday when we're trying to be happy and get into our weekend. So you got plans for the long weekend? Are you going to be doing anything for Easter? I saw lots of Pesach celebrations for our Jewish friends over the weekend. I know that Christians are starting to get into Palm Sunday was yesterday. And then, of course, Easter Friday is this coming week. And we get the Monday off because Easter Sunday is the big one. So if you are doing something, tell us what it is. I would love to hear. Call me crazy, says Gray, but the abandonment of a religion causes suicide too. Absolutely. Because it removes hope. And it removes belonging for so many people. And that's important. All right. Dirk says, data is all about trends. Are things getting better or worse over the years? Don't know. We'll have to look into it. I'll tell you what's getting worse is my mic's ability to stay erect. My mic is flaccid. It's very embarrassing. No plans, says Lee. I'm working at night, prefer it that way, and relaxing during the day. Well, that's very good. So I spent Thursday afternoon and Friday and then came back on Saturday from Sun City. Had a lovely time. Ran up those stairs so much. I must have had, I don't know. We must have gone up and down 50, 60 times on the stairs that go to the rides at the Valley of the Waves. Like a kid. I don't know how to explain this to people. They're like, what did you go for? Did you go on golf tour? And I'm like, I don't play golf. Did you go for gambling? Are you a big gambler? No. Although I did manage to, in the casino on Friday night, I managed to put 600 Rand in and played for 2.5 hours, which I think is pretty damn good. Didn't lose more than 600 Rand. I mean, there were some guys at that table who were, they were losing money hand over fist. One dude must have put in the time I was there, probably 20,000 Rand. Gone. Just gone. And you know, there's something horrible about getting hungover, right? And you wake up the next morning and you're tired and you're hungover. and you feel like you wasted the night. And I'm sure that would have been a case for many people who were frequenting the bar. Fortunately, I had an early night myself. But it's a horrible, horrible thing. Way worse in every way. If you find yourself waking up hungover, tired, and you're 20,000 Rand down. I don't see how that ever makes anyone feel better. So glad I'm not a gambler. But yeah, I tell people I went to Sun City and they're like, well, what did you do there? Golf, gambling? What were you there for? I'm like, Valley of the Waves. But you're not a 12-year-old. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, Gareth, I sent you an email. I hope you get to soon. Sorry it's a bit long, Mapelo. Yeah, Mapelo's full of opinions these days. I think it's time you start your own show. Because I did read your email. You want to hear from Mapelo? You want to hear his email?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing because, as he said, it is a bit long. And he says, I wanted to write to you for a long time about the show, even being on the show 2 weeks ago. I'm very worried about the direction the show has taken in the past year. Let me give you and the team some credit first. The show's great, blah, blah, blah. But he basically says, the show has been a huge part of my growth. I've learned so much about how to stand up for myself, how to debate properly, develop a thicker skin, taking accountability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I used to share clips of the show after every episode with my friends on WhatsApp and social media. There was plenty of important and relatable content to everyone on each episode. Now it sounds like it's targeted to a specific minority demographic, not like before when we had people from different backgrounds, culture, et cetera, tuning in every day and engaging. If I'd come across the show for the first time as it is today, I would only listen for one or two episodes and forget about it. I know you're all about quality audience, but I think now it's become too specific. All right. So, Mapelo, normally my response to this is to be like, I get 10 emails a day from people telling me how the show should be. Start your own. Okay. And you don't have to listen to the show, and I don't really mind. It's totally up to you. I'm not sentimental about it. If it changes again, it'll be changing for the better. Otherwise, why would we change it? And as for going for a smaller minority, I don't know what you mean. Are you thinking like we're trying only to appeal to white people, rich people, males? Like what's your angle there? Which minority demographic are you referring to? Because as far as I can tell, we try to keep things interesting, and interesting doesn't really have a demographic. You know, we'll go from talking about black women's hair to talking about what your poo says about you. Thank you, James. I mean, those are two very different things, and I think they can appeal to anybody, but you know what? You got to keep listening. If you don't want to listen, stop. You'd miss out on people like Chris Hart today. And you would have missed out on Tall Ass Mo last week. And I don't see how those people could possibly be going for the same demographic. They're not talking about the same things. I love that. I like that we keep it different. Anyway, if that's the impression you're getting, and other people are also getting that perhaps, I haven't seen evidence of that, but okay. Thanks for the feedback. Delete. There it is. Okay, good. Okay, so now, if it wasn't interesting, we wouldn't be here, says Lee. Okay, guys, I don't want to turn this into a fight between, like, Mapelo's opinion of the show and everybody else's, because that's not interesting. It really isn't. It's just not interesting to anybody. What I do want to talk about is this. I'm worried about the burning platform, says Ricky. This is free content and GC's world class. At least I get to this dose on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yeah. And you know what? I do think that there's room for us to change it again. So having lost the burning platform as part of the change that we've made here, there may be room for me to do a kind of more serious one-on-one interview in a across the desk format, which I've always enjoyed doing. There are some 20,000 hours of those, which are available online anyway. So I don't know how many more I have to do. I mean, when is enough enough, right? But this show, the way that it works, is fun. And until it stops being fun, we'll do this. And I'm happy to have constructive feedback, by the way. So don't climb into Mapelo, because maybe he, you know, comes from a good place. Doesn't sound like he's being an asshole about it. Okay, so this is what I wanted to get to. A couple of other things I've sent to James that I want you to see. So, you know, they're doing these toys, right? Everybody's doing these these versions of themselves in a plastic box with them as an action figure. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So I think I showed you mine the other day. Everybody at the office is doing them. Have you got the one for the single mom? Just show everybody. This is the single mom one, which is great. It says drama, 98, gaslighting, 91, weaponized empathy, 87, entitlement, 86, perjurative respect, 79, and co-parenting ability, 04. So there she is. She's a single mom. She's got a cell phone, by the way, with a cracked screen, because all single moms do. There's a bottle of wine. There's some crazy pills. There's a poop scent spray, a Starbucks coffee cup, a Hyundai key, and then her quote, which is, "It's not about you. It's about the child." And it's called the Toxic Times Family Court Series. Isn't that great? The single mom this time with 30% more delusion. So there we go. Single moms everywhere trying their best, but just not getting what they really want in the world. And that is respect, right? Have you seen the Madeleine McCann action figure? No, neither have I. In fact, there it is. It's still missing. Is it too soon? Too soon to joke about her? No. Shame. All right. Very good. One of the things I did see over the weekend that I thought was fascinating and I wanted to share with you this morning. This is a video the guy took in a town in Mexico. So, you know, it's partly a Catholic thing, but it's partly a South American thing. While Mexico isn't actually technically part of South America, a lot of the traditions in South America are the same as the traditions in America, North America, that is. When people die, there are vast cemeteries where people erect these mausoleums. You know, like the ancient Egyptians would have had pyramids, or the famous one was the mausoleum of Halicarnassus, which was built by a prince of somewhere along the Turkish coast. And he built this enormous mausoleum for himself. Later on, Augustus would build one in Rome. Later on, Hadrian would build one, which is now the Castel Sant'Angelo, which is pretty much the entrance to the Vatican along the Tiber River. But these are places, the huge funerary monuments that people would build to outlive them and in which their mortal remains would lie. And in Mexico, there's a thing that the cartels have done. They've established a whole city that looks like it's a living city, but it's actually a city of the dead. And the amount of money that is spent here, because these guys just don't know what to do with their money. So while they're alive, and because their lives are probably short and violent, they build these mausoleums. And this dude made a video. I think it's called Real America, Real American Voice. He goes into one of these mausoleum cities, and you cannot believe how much people are spending on their tombs. I mean, this is frightening. Can we play that for everybody? Watch this.
I've been to some crazy places before, but this has to be up there as one of the craziest. This is a cemetery. These are all mausoleums dedicated to cartel bosses in Culiacan, Sinaloa. These aren't houses. These are mausoleums, tombs, like the tombs of Egypt for the pharaohs, except these hold the narco kingpins. And each one built larger to one up their competitors. It truly is unbelievable. The amount of money that the cartel makes, they have so much money, they don't even know what to do with it. To the point where they build million-dollar mansions to be buried in. Monuments to some of the most evil people that have ever walked the earth. Here in Sinaloa, Mexico. All propped up by a government that's as corrupt as they are.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, huh? All those buildings, no one lives in them. Some of them have plumbing because they've got like a little place you wash your hands, for example, or they've got electricity because people switch on the lights in there, believe it or not, at night. But they're just dead people in there. There are no living people. They're tombs. And they're built, as the guy in the clip says, for some of the most evil people in the world. These are maniacs. They're criminal warlords, basically. You know, people who are in the drug cartels or the human trafficking cartels. I mean, not great people. The sort of people you would not want to encounter in life. And whom in death, I think we're all pleased that they can't move and cause more cuck, but not good. So they should try it here. The Nyaupes will be moving in. Yeah, I was thinking about that. So all of these tombs, some of them you saw, they're like glass entrance halls and staircases. And if we had those in South Africa, it wouldn't take long for homeless people to move in, right? They would. They wouldn't even care that there were dead people in there. They'd be like, oh, we'll come and live here anyway. Have you seen the ones built here for the taxi buses, says Carl? I would love to. So if we have them, here's some ideas for people who want to become content creators. Go out and make a video like that guy did of those. Just pop it on YouTube and I'm sure people will watch. Please don't come to Durban for Easter. We have no water, says Durban Dope. Isn't it also true that all your beaches are like full of turds again? I heard this over the weekend that apparently three of Durban's major beaches have very, very high E. coli levels, which means, what does it mean? People are shitting in the water again. Yeah, they're shitting in the water. What can I tell you? So no, I won't come to Durban. In fact, I haven't been back to Durban for what, 3 years now? And I used to go there every year many times. So I don't know. Count me out. Yes, Durban is a shit show at the moment, Sisley. That's about right. Okay, well, we have some other things to talk about this morning, which I think you might be interested in. First of all, the Netherlands is looking for South Africans with these skills. So, all right, you want to complain about how South Africa is a difficult place to live in, blah, 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 blah. Cool. So where are you going to go? Or what are you going to do? Well, the people of Holland, the Netherlands, facing a shortage of healthcare and engineering professionals, turning to South Africans to fill the gap. Beaver Recruitment South Africa, which is a new recruitment agency. I'm not making this up, by the way. This is not a joke. Is helping place and train South Africans for jobs in the Netherlands, where demand is growing, especially for healthcare workers. The country offers attractive benefits like competitive salaries, a 30% tax break for skilled migrants, and a good work-life balance. Selfishly, I would rather we didn't lose healthcare workers. You know, with the shadow of NHI looming, we're going to need good healthcare workers. So if we're going to send some of those, even just a couple, a handful, to the Netherlands, that's our loss and their gain. Can't stop people from doing what they want to do. Free market of ideas, free market of labor. You should be able to choose who pays you for your labor and where you deploy it. And I'm not going to stop you, but we're going to need even more. And in fact, we already have a shortage of really good healthcare workers in South Africa. So I don't necessarily think I like this. Call me cynical, but I don't know if I like that. Also, the fact that you can do all these things now, I mean, it is exciting to live in a world where it's entirely possible for you to have a job, especially in certain kinds of industries, certain kinds of work. You can have a job here, but they pay you from there. Now, that would be cool. And I think there are a lot of people who really want to do that because you can earn it in – oh, there goes Leanne.
Hello.
She walks right across. Did you think you weren't going to be seen? You walk straight across here. James is showing you to go around the side there, and you're like
–
James, did you have a late start this morning?
I just thought I'd sleep in a little more, you know, just –
Don't worry, it happens to the best of us. Happens to me often too. All right, James, get ready for your sport. We'll do that in a second or two. How are you, ass? How was your weekend?
Yeah, well, good. Good. I ended up – isn't it funny how you feel guilty binge-watching when you're by yourself, but if you do it with other people, you feel okay?
Really? Is that the thing?
Yeah. So I did it with my mom and my brother. We watched Frasier.
Wow.
And just that – I don't know if you remember a lot of it. But that one episode where they take it out of the studio and they go into a room and they create this whole theatrical, audio theatrical scene where they've got boards to make the thunder. And
oh, wow.
Everyone's got their roles, but obviously being Frasier, you know, everyone stuffs up the whole way through. Just that whole live radio vibe, that was fun to watch.
It's such a funny show because, and we'll get to Dr. Hanan just now, who's like on there, psychologist.
Yeah.
But they were such a fucked up family. Like the dad was this grumpy and curmudgeonly old man. Then Niles, the brother, was a total disaster.
Yeah, and I think autistic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There was something going on there. And then there was Frasier, who also just couldn't ever keep it together.
No.
So in so many ways, just like every other family.
Yes.
No one's better than that. All right. So while we're talking about the things you did over the weekend, I don't watch a lot of TV.
Mm-mm.
I don't watch a lot of anything. And actually over weekends, I've become like I'll maybe do a movie or something if I'm at home and I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But I can't, I don't know what to watch.
There's so much.
I found the White Lotus series good. Yeah, I eventually finished that. It was decent. I don't think it was a waste of time. But the kind of you make an investment in time, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just feel after watching a movie like that wasn't worth the hour or 2 hours or 2.5 hours sometimes. No good.
Yeah. If you're gonna set aside time, then it's important what you choose.
How do you decide?
But sometimes
do you read reviews?
Yes, I read reviews.
Whose reviews? Ever since Barry Ronger died, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Give it a scintillating seven.
Exactly. He used to tell us. It was so easy back in those days because we only had like 2 TV channels.
Yes, and we would wait a whole week for a review on Sunday.
And you'd have to go to the theater to watch movies. You couldn't watch them at home. So it was a major investment. We talk about, oh, watch the show, and it was rubbish. But you just sat on your laptop. You didn't even leave your house.
No, it didn't cost you anything. On your phone in bed.
Yeah. So I used to – I'm joking, obviously, because I never liked reviews. I've always thought that people who do movie reviews – how can you do that? We all have different taste.
So there are a few people that I follow on TikTok.
This is why I'm asking you. I trust you.
I don't know who they are. I'm not like that obsessed with
them.
Okay,
so you don't have their details.
Their stuff will – all right. Come up, but they're like that. They're very good judges.
Okay.
Of good movies or good shows.
And these people will guide you to new things that you haven't seen.
Mm.
Are they very good at often. The older stuff as well?
No, these are only for the new stuff that's coming out. Yeah. Okay. I don't like watching older stuff always. I feel like there isn't time.
Well, my problem is that there's so many movies I haven't seen because I don't watch a lot of them. So, and there's a back catalog of so much good stuff. If I don't – I would think that actually the people who listen to this show probably direct me more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing a deep dive and analysis on like how I choose what I'm going to watch, it's probably what I hear from the audience in this show. If you see a list of studio movies coming out this year, it's a bunch of nonsense except maybe the F1 movie with Brad Pitt. If you're into F1. Okay, so I believe that's brilliant.
Okay.
Because they filmed it kind of while the F1 was going on.
Mm.
So he would actually have been racing on the track at the same time and that kind of thing in order to give it this realistic, gritty effect. That's what I understand. So I might even watch that, even though I don't know anything about or care about Formula One. Mobland, Dope Thief, Gangs of London, Friends and Neighbors, says Lee. Okay. The new John Hamm show on Apple TV Plus is interesting. Otherwise, Landman from Tyler Sheridan is nice. Black Mirror is awesome. Mobland, Gareth, new series with Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren.
That's the second Mobland mention.
Okay. Yeah. Happy Gilmore 2 is dropping in July. That could be fun.
I also take advice from people who know me. Family members who'll say, no, you, this is up your street. You would love it.
Oh, right.
You know.
I've been binging a really good series from the 90s. It's old, but really holds up. I think it's called Debbie Does Dallas or something like that. Chris. if you ask Google, what is the question it is asked the most? What should I watch? It's sad. but there is an answer, Reacher. So is that the most asked question on Google? What should I watch? Wow. And it's taken us years of doing this for us to actually ever ask that question right here.
Yeah.
I don't think we've asked that before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I also saw recently that one of the most asked question between couples, and that can actually erode the marriage, is what do you want for dinner?
Ooh.
So that's also something for decades that we've never been able to figure out.
Yeah. All right, James, come and give us the sport. Let's get that done. We've got Dr. Hanan still coming up. So that's our little appointment on a Monday to get our heads right. And Leanne's also got some stories to share with us. Signet says, I heard the new Snow White is cool if you're into shit shows. All right. Night Agent is good. And for expats.
Yeah, it's okay.
Toyskomps was nostalgic. The Chosen and House of David are brilliant new Christian shows. Okay. All right, but let's get to the shows that most people watch over the weekend. Live shows, sports shows, things that are happening on grass where people kick things around. Leanne, you know those.
Yep.
And then they drive cars.
Chase a piece of car, hide.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Run, bend.
They drive the cars on the grass. Well, they shouldn't, but occasionally they end up on the grass. Okay, so let's go. James, what do we got?
We had a car race this weekend.
Motor cars?
We did have motor cars.
Motor cars.
Formula
and
One.
Where were they racing?
Bahrain.
Bahrain.
I didn't know how to say it with the accent.
Bahrain.
That one.
You know, Bahrain is an island.
I didn't.
Okay, so all the others are attached to the Arabian Peninsula, including, you know, everything except those fake islands that they've made in Dubai.
Yes.
And Abu Dhabi. But all of them are part of the mainland, even Yemen and those sorts of places. But Bahrain is actually an island. And apparently Bahrain is the fun part of that part of the world.
Right.
That's where you go if you live in the other parts, but it's too strict.
Okay, so you're allowed to drink and do things.
They turn a blind eye to some stuff. If anyone who is listening to us now lives in Bahrain, maybe you can fill us in.
You learn something new every day. I thought it was just part of the
mainland.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is why I'm here. I'm here to help you. Help you not be an idiot. So, all right, Bahrain, what happens there? Drive fast cars around a track?
They did drive some fast cars. The orange car won.
Which one is that?
That's McLaren. Oscar Piastri won his fourth Grand Prix, if I'm not mistaken.
Is orange having a moment? We should ask our creatives here, the art department here. If orange is the color of the moment, because I do feel like, and it's not my favorite color, but there seems to be a lot of orange back
the
this pan, year.
The Pantone color of the year is mocha mousse. So
brown.
So brown.
Really. Brown is the color of the year. Huh?
Like,
brown.
Like a chocolate mousse.
Brown. I like brown. Brown is a nice color. Brown was very big in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's made a comeback in fashion. So it's more your sort of bronzy browns.
I think I'm picking up an orange trend here. All right. Anyway, so the orange car wins.
The orange car did win. And the orange car came third. So there was a lot of orange. You're right.
Good.
So orange Piastri came in first, Norris in third. Russell and the Mercedes came in second. And Verstappen all the way down in sixth. So not a great weekend for the Red Bulls, but a great weekend for the oranges.
Well, also, as somebody said here, Donald Trump is orange.
That's true.
Papayas are orange.
Also true.
Trump wore an orange tie to the UFC yesterday.
Okay.
He was there. It's worse, Gareth. The color of the moment is mocha mousse, which is a soft brown shade. It's like poo, really.
It is like poo.
The color of poo. Datsun Brown says...
Yes, remember we had a gallery of brown cars at one point.
Datsun Pabalo says brown. Orange presidents are all the rage.
Mm.
The trend for orange is Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's color is orange, apparently, according to Bitcoin Boots. So much winning. So, yeah, maybe it's the moment of orange that you've been waiting for if you're a big fan of orange. I think it's probably my least favorite color, but there we go.
Orange, you're glad that you know that now.
Leanne, are you wearing any poo brown today?
No, brown, but signs of gold, no mocha.
All right. I'm not wearing any poo brown either. Oh, no. There's been a terrible accident. All right, let's go. What else, James?
The world of football. Also,
yes, tell us about the world of football.
So Flex hasn't had a great weekend.
Flex, did your team lose again?
Not just one of them.
All your teams lost.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
Well, go on. Lay it on thick.
So Sundowns, they played Chiefs. Sundowns were winning. Life was good. Then they weren't, because that game ended 2-1 against Chiefs. Pirates beat Gallants 1-0, meaning the final for the Nedbank Cup is a Chiefs-Pirates game and not a Sundowns game. And then the other game of the weekend that may have depressed Flex a little bit happened yesterday. Newcastle went rampant on Man United and scored 4 goals. Man United only responded with 1 goal. So not a great weekend.
So that's not great
for Flex, no.
No. All right, I'm sorry, Flex, but you know what? You also can't be a child. Can't let other people kicking a ball around determine whether you have a good weekend or not. You know?
Me, on the other hand, the Liverpool fan.
Oh, yeah?
Great weekend. Phenomenal weekend. We beat West Ham 2-1. We only need 3 more points to win the league. And another Liverpudlian that did well this weekend was Paddy Pimblett, who beat Michael Chandler at the UFC this weekend in the lightweight division. The Liverpudlians just doing all the things Liverpudlians need to do.
Well, that's nice for them, because it's a terrible place.
It's because I had those bed sheets at the age of 12. I'm telling
you. Yeah. But Liverpool's also a horrible place.
It's not a great
place. It's not on anyone's list of like top 5 cities in Europe they want to visit. In fact, it's not even on the top 50.
I don't think a lot of England is, to be honest.
But especially Liverpool.
But like the Beatles and stuff.
I would go to see maybe some Beatles-related stuff, but that's it.
I think if you went there, you wouldn't be doing touristy stuff. You'd need to get in deep and get in with a family and like have dinner with them, because that would be an experience.
Crackers and beer at lunchtime kind of thing.
Just get in with the accent, the culture.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then leave very quickly.
Yeah. And never look back.
I'm down.
Like Lot's wife, don't look back or you'll turn to a pillar of salt. Yeah. I think Liverpool's probably like a PE of Britain.
I don't think you're wrong, actually. It looks super industrial in Liverpool, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, listen, Britain's not like a factory nation anymore. But yeah, Liverpool's right up there. All right.
So the Liverpudlians did well this weekend.
You said that already. Are you trying to make an emphasis of this point?
On the right syllable, yes. Arsenal also won this weekend, which makes Ben happy. They beat Brentford 1-0. But again, we need 6 more points and we won the league. So it doesn't really matter. Man City, they won 5-2 against Palace. Aston Villa beat Southampton 3-0. I know I touched on the UFC, but I got to go back to it because I was doing a Liverpool thing.
Yeah.
Volkanovski regained the vacant featherweight title by beating Diego Lopez by unanimous decision in 5 rounds. There was also rugby this weekend. The Bulls crashed out to Edinburgh in the EPCR Challenge Cup, 34-28 there after playing like absolute punts. What I think Ben meant to write there was something else.
I see.
But he did a pun.
He made a punny.
There you go. Lyon Racing 92 and Bath all through to the semis with Edinburgh, who beat the Bulls. And that is a sporting weekend.
Very good. Right, thank you, James. Manchester is a concrete hemorrhoid. The most exciting attraction they have is an agriculture museum, says Concrete Chris.
Concrete hemorrhoid.
It might be a terrible place, but back in the Middle Ages and early civilization, it was quite something. Not Liverpool, ever. And then Dutuko Flex, who is our producer here, says Arsenal did not win.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah, James, you idiot.
That's the sports report I got from Benjamin.
We have a dispute here. Flex, what are your sources?
No, he's right. He's right. It was 1-1.
So you know what? James doesn't check anything. He just gets the script and then reads it like a mongoloid. So thank you.
That's fair.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. How embarrassing, Leanne.
I'm more embarrassed for Ben.
Oh, you think it's Ben's fault?
Yes, absolutely.
He didn't check, and he's supposed to be an Arsenal fan.
Oh, exactly. Maybe he just thought they'd win and wrote the sport early and went to bed.
So embarrassing. All right, so embarrassing. All right, a couple of things that we need to get to before we do Dr. Hanan. Won't you check if he's ready for us and just let me know? So apparently there are 2 cases in South Africa that have blurred lines, depending on which side you're on. There's apparently, and this is quite something, a Gauteng mother who's been sentenced to 3 years imprisonment for murder of her son and daughter I mean, this is a hell of a story. And then the Eastern Cape Social Development MEC has decided not to charge the mum who killed the daughter's alleged rapist. So two big cases that are going in on in South Africa right now that people are talking about.
Yeah. So in the first case, in Gauteng, it's a mother who tried to kill both her children and was successful in killing one. And you would think that that is one of those absolute nutcase jobs where somebody's just lost it. However, she was so impoverished and was so desperate and couldn't support her children anymore. There was no one to look after them, and she was literally watching them starve. So to me, that does create a blurred line. Sure, as a very last resort, there must be something else that you can do. But that was
that's heavy.
One of those that you could see both sides, right? And the other one,
do you know, even if you rummaged through the trash, you'd be able to find enough to feed your kid.
Really?
Seriously, yeah, I'm telling you, I by no means am I saying that this is optimal. And obviously I have sympathy for anyone in this situation. But we live in a world where it's not like there's a famine. You know, there's no famine. It's not like those pictures you used to see in National Geographic.
Locusts have eaten all of
the food. where all the food has been destroyed by a plague of locusts, and then there's these kids with Kwashiorkor's disease sitting there starving, and they're turning to skeletons with just the skin on them. I mean, you remember those pictures?
Yeah.
That's not happening. There are huge quantities of food that are thrown out every day.
Mm.
Our rubbish dumps are full of stuff that it may not be the best quality stuff, but it's still edible. And if you're starving, you'll find something to eat.
Yeah, but is it all about food? You're sleeping outside.
No, listen, there are always aggravating factors.
Yeah.
But I don't think we live in a world in South Africa anymore where it's like you're starving because there's a famine, because there isn't any food around. You know, and frankly, I don't know anyone who wouldn't give someone money, help them with a meal, offer them something. There must be, you know, these food stores that throw out stuff that's expired by a day.
Yeah.
And it's around, and they give it to poor people and to indigent people. So I don't know whether this mom is just so far away from everything that she can't reach it, or what the excuse is. It's like, I think you could try a bit harder, because murdering your child is never the best possible outcome. I'm maybe barking up the wrong tree here, but there we go.
She escaped jail time, so she's got 3 years imprisonment.
Yeah.
Suspended. 8 years imprisonment. Wholly suspended for 5 years. And she had poisoned her children with rat poison. So doctors managed to save her 8-year-old daughter. The 16-year-old son succumbed. And
horrible.
She eventually pled guilty, said pushed over the edge by financial and relationship problems. And then I know Dr. Hanan is on, but to just finish off, the other case is in the Eastern Cape, and that was a mom who rallied together with the organization, found the rapist of her daughter, who was raping her repeatedly after they literally beat him to death. She was arrested, and she was released later on 500 rand bail.
Good.
And the MEC is now saying, don't charge her.
I think so too.
Yeah, interesting cases, though.
Yeah, I'm on her side. I mean, there's going to be a lot of noise and opinion about this. Mm. Let's go to Dr. Hanan. It's going to be okay. This is what we do on a Monday morning, and it is going to be okay. I mean, it's a short week, and before you know it, you're going to be in the weekend again. So, Doc, nice to see you, and I hope you had a good weekend. You hear us?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry. I wasn't sure if you could hear us there. All right. So last time I dropped this into the conversation, I said we'd pick it up this week. And I'm sure that you are confronted by this far more regularly than I am. People are looking for ways to use AI to connect to stuff, and AI can use everything that there is on the internet, the whole corpus of human knowledge and history, in order to ascertain, diagnose, and solve problems. Now, we use AI for everything. How useful is it in psychology?
So I'm a big fan and proponent of AI. AI is incredibly powerful. And as it becomes more advanced, it could really emulate human emotion and empathy. So especially over text, if you ever try to have a conversation, a human-like conversation with AI, as a psychologist, you'll see within 2 minutes, you forget that you're actually speaking to a computer algorithm. You forget that you're speaking to ones and zeros. And you really do think that you are speaking to a real human being.
Absolutely.
So an AI is just going to get better. It can trick you into believing that it has real empathy, and it's going to get to know you. The algorithm is going to get much stronger, much more efficient. It's going to get to know what pushes your buttons. It's going to get to know what gets you connected more. It's going to get to know you on a much more personal and intimate level. It's not going to forget things. And it's going to evolve as you evolve. And things that impact you, it will learn it. It will push your buttons. It will pull you in. It will engage you. It will draw you in. It will push you away with things that you don't like. It will gravitate or pull you in with things that you do. So it's going to get much better. But what it can't do is still, and I don't know if it will ever be able to do, is pick up on the small nuance of real human interaction. So the drawback of AI, which I find, listen, it's going to get much better and it's going to be really good and it's going to probably do a better job than maybe 95% of all therapists and even all doctors and, I don't know, in the human services field, it's going to overtake many, many professions. But what it can't do is pick up on the small nuance, perhaps non-traditional way of engaging with people. So, for example, if right now you type into AI, hello, act as a therapist and I'm depressed, the first thing AI is going to do is going to draw on the collective knowledge and it's going to say to you, I'm really sorry that you're feeling this way. Tell me more about it, which is kind of sounds like the right thing to say. But I can tell you as a psychologist, sometimes when you get to know the person, the right thing to say is not to show empathy, but actually to show strength and go, first of all, what are you talking about when you say depression? And why would you be depressed when you have so much to be grateful for? So, but that only a human can do.
Right.
Because you get to know the person and you get to push back and you don't rely on common traditional way of engaging with somebody. You rely perhaps on the way that your intuition is telling you to engage with that particular person, what that particular person needs right now. So AI might get there, but at the moment it's not there. So therefore the human interaction, the relationship and the small nuance dynamics and conversations are still something that AI can't do, but humans can.
Michael John says, Doc, have you tried the new Grok app, specifically the not a therapist mode? It's amazing. So apparently that's part of Elon Musk's Grok app, which may be worth having a look at. There's an AI bot on ChatGPT Plus called Monday. It's a rude bot. It pushes your buttons to the core. I wanted to ask you about this because I put this up at the beginning of the show. Leanne wasn't here yet, but we saw this interesting graph about the uptick in suicide. And I don't want to have a depressing Monday, but clearly in South Africa, we've got a problem. A lot of young people talking about this. Leanne just sketched the scenario for two mothers and some very, very difficult decisions they've had to make. And obviously, you know, privation is not as bad now as it used to be back in the day.
Mm.
People live much better now. Even very, very poor people live much better now than at any other stage in our history. But we still have this rapid and very, very concerning trend, particularly among young men, but across the board, of suicide. So we've got to touch on that at some point if it's such a big issue that Discovery say it is the second leading cause of unnatural deaths. I mean, look at that chart. You got motor vehicle accidents, suicide, trauma, crime, and other accidents. We talk nonstop about crime. We talk nonstop about accidents. We talk nonstop about trauma. But suicide seems to be the biggest category there. And how many people talk about that, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, look at this. It's 23% for motor vehicle accidents. And yeah. I think it was said 35% for suicide. Yeah. I mean, or
suicide's yeah, it's, way
it's,
bigger.
It's insane. It's insane. And therapy seems to be doing the same thing. And, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And therapy has been doing the same thing for 150 years. And we wonder why suicide and depression, anxiety, and overall mental ill health is getting progressively worse. Maybe we need to change the model. And we could do an 8-hour workshop on the show on what I believe the old model doesn't cover. And we need to think about mental health in a completely different way. But there's so much resistance against change. You know, the human brain doesn't like to change. It likes to keep on repeating patterns because metabolically it's very cheap to keep on just going back on autopilot. But we got to do things differently. And, you know, I've said this many times, I'm a big fan of Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
And Viktor Frankl in the 1940s did a lecture, and you should actually go and Google it. And the stuff that he says in 1940 still applies almost 100 years later. He says back then the youth lacked purpose. They lacked something to chase that is of meaning to them. And now if you read his lectures today and assume that he's talking to the audience today, you'd actually think that he's talking to the youth in 2025. People lack purpose. People lack agency. People wake up and have nothing meaningful to do. So if you had to do a poll, for your audience, ask people how many people actually have a sense of purpose. And I'm not talking about a job, because you can work anywhere. And by the way, a lot of people don't have a job, but even for those that do have a job, how many feel this is my life's mission? This resonates with my spirit. So the reason why people are feeling stuck is because one of the major reasons is because they're not waking up and having anything of meaning to do, anything of meaningfulness to do. They're not chasing things that resonate with who they are. So that's a big cause, and we've got to address that if you want to address depression, anxiety, and suicide, and mental ill health.
Yeah, I think here's an interesting point that's being raised by Carl. He says, suicide isn't talked about very much because the people who are affected the most lose the ability to speak when they succumb to the illness. I mean, that's kind of a crude way of saying, yeah, that it isn't spoken about because the main protagonist is gone.
Right, but I can tell you unfortunately, I've seen so many depressed people, and I can tell you, what is the number one cause of suicide? Obviously, the reason why people commit suicide is because the pain and suffering of the life that they lead is superseded by the fantasy or the potential good of letting go of that suffering. So in other words, death is more appealing than living. So we got to create a much more meaningful, purposeful existence so that death doesn't even become an option. Listen, does everybody fantasize about, I wonder what life would be like if I just left or I just went away? Everybody at some point goes through a low moment where you question the meaning of your life. But suicide is another level where you actually take action against the suffering that you experience on a daily basis. It's a very, very, very serious condition. But again, I call it a condition. The truth is, I don't want you to think that suicide or depression is something that you have and you need to carry it like being a diabetic for the rest of your life. The truth is, you can do something about it. You must have agency, and you must. And if you can't deal with it, then you got to find somebody to help pull you through it.
I think that's so important. And the things you can do something about, you must. But also, there are things that you can't do anything about. I mean, there's no point in contemplating suicide because the rand isn't doing so well against the dollar, or because, you know, our exports have to remain competitive. There's no reason for someone to even consider suicide on those sorts of bases, because you can't do anything about those things. What you can do is the stuff that you have control over in your life. And I think that sense of a loss of control is probably the most important reason that people plunge into despair. I mean, we don't have that problem with so many people in our audience, but Congo Chris says people need to learn to be ornery and bitter again. I exist out of pure spite, he says. So that gives him a reason to exist. Dirk says the only animal that commits suicide are humans. Other animals don't do that. I suppose you could argue lemmings do, right? Lemmings jump over but they don't know that they just, it's crowd madness.
Yeah.
My anxiety feels like a heavy load I carry around all the time, a monster from the future coming to get me. It's not fun. How do you respond to that, Doc?
Well, a big part of mental ill health that human beings share but don't share with animals is the ability to project forward and the ability to reflect back. Mm. And that is not to your point, Gareth, not live in the moment with something that you can't control. Animals just live with the information, with the ones and zeros that they have in front of them. So they make decisions and they use that data to make the next decision. And they use that data to make the next decision, which is incredibly helpful. Human beings, and by the way, the reason why we survived is because we're able to project forward and we're able to reflect back, which is an incredible, useful, let's call it tool and gift that allows us to, well, again, prepare for what's coming and learn from the mistake that we have made in the past. But that doesn't serve us all the time, because when you look backwards, you feel a sense of regret or shame or guilt. I should have, I could have, I didn't. And therefore, that leads to depression. And when you project forward with things that you can't control, well, obviously, the rent is going to go to X, Y, and Z. Obviously, the housing market is this. Obviously, Trump is that. So you're able to project forward to a doom and gloom, which actually creates a sense of anxiety, because what are you going to do about it? So the thing that has saved us and the thing that has put us on the top of the food chain is the thing that's causing this incredible mental ill health that we need to work through.
It's a lot to swallow in that little bit of info and that bit of advice. So thank you. We will catch up with you in another couple of days. We're not going to see you next Monday because it's a holiday, but we'll see you the week after that.
Happy Easter, guys.
Thanks, Doc. There's Dr. Hanan.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of holidays and things happening in the next few days. It's going to be very difficult to even keep track. So make sure when you wake up, or make sure when you set your alarm the night before, that you actually have to be up the next day.
Cancel those early alarms.
Oh, that's going to be so nice.
Yeah.
Thursday night. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment or two. Don't go anywhere. Leanne and I are here. We've got Chris Hart popping in a little bit later on to talk about all things to do with the economy.